In a day of divisiveness, of separation, of us versus them, today we're going to talk about E Pluribus Unum.
Right.
The idea of and the issues that we're having right now with all this division that we're living with in our society right now.
That's right. We're all thinking about it because we hear about politics in Washington and the divisiveness and the lack of agreement and the animosity. I've often thought about how do we approach this topic, and then we discovered this article written by a psychiatrist in San Francisco called We Are One, and it begins with the discussion of the phrase on our national seal, which is E Pluribus Unum, which means from many, one.
Okay? Right.
And it's really, I think he did a very good job. It's a very thoughtful glimpse into this this ideal, what was once an ideal, of from many, one.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and so we're gonna touch on it a little bit today, and actually we're gonna end the week with a very similar discussion as we kind of get into some of the, and we're still working on how we're gonna present this, but because it is something that is so important that we really need to feel we need to address, and then that is the controversial relationship between Nike and Colin Kaepernick. So we're going to kind of talk about that because it's related to this same issue of us versus them, of the idea that you know, on this side you have Democrats, on this side you have Republicans, on this side you have
liberals, conservatives,
liberals and conservatives,
progressives, and something else.
He mentions all these dichotomies that we have, you know, Black Lives Matter versus the police, and you know, and it's this again, us versus them mentality it can be a virus if we're not careful.
That's right, and so I think he's suggesting that it is. He doesn't come right out and say that.
Right.
But he's sort of suggesting that it is doing damage to the country. There are really four main points that we want to make here. One is, in this podcast, one is the whole concept of E Pluribus Unum. And I think we really have lost that ideal.
Right.
I mean, certainly in the past 20 years, we have lost that as we have become more divisive. Right. I remember when years ago when moral issues, morality was first injected into politics.
Right.
And once you start talking about sexual orientation, gender orientation, gay marriage, who's Christian and who's not Christian, once you begin to introduce those are very personal issues, but they engender a lot of emotion. We can disagree about the economy without disliking each other.
Right.
You don't disagree about gender orientation without risking disliking each other.
Right.
And so it engendered a passion in politics that hadn't been there before.
Right.
But those are just the beginning of our divisions.
Right. You know,
black-white division existed long before 20 years ago. You know. So, but he talks about this concept, this ideal of us being together as a nation. And I think that in World War II, we forgot our differences because we had a common enemy.
Right.
And later in the podcast, we're going to talk about common enemies because you need a common enemy. If you're going to be a tribe, you need a common enemy.
Right, that happened after 9/11, right? We had this significant, you know, unifying mission. Mm-hmm. It was good in that sense that we all came together.
Brought us together.
But, you know, as you said, over the past 20 years or so, and maybe even longer, we've had this push to separate and to, you know, create these divisions and these tribes. You know, we think about, you know, tribalism and the use of identity politics, and you know, under these are some of the other points that we're going to be making in this podcast. But all of these concepts have been not just perpetuated, mm-hmm. but have been put on steroids, and they're
exactly.
like even stronger and even right. more significant and
That's
and
right.
profound than they should be.
Right. Certainly. Yeah, because what E Pluribus Unum should be is a call to patriotism. To
right.
you know, you come from no matter where you come from,
mm-hmm.
Italy, Germany, mm-hmm. England, Africa, Asia. It doesn't matter where you come from. When you come here, we have what's we call it a melting pot. When you come here, you become American. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so you in a sense change your identity,
mm-hmm.
and it makes you more patriotic. Now you're a member, you're a citizen of this country.
Right.
Okay. Instead, we have instead of bringing us together, we have split into factions,
mm-hmm.
and now we see the feminism versus patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Black versus white, Black Lives Matter versus police brutality. Now we have Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter.
Right.
You know? And there are all these movements that pit one group against another. We have Midwesterners versus the coastal elite.
Right, yeah,
you know,
that was
you,
another one he mentioned.
You
yeah.
hear all those things. White supremacists versus immigration. You know,
mm-hmm.
so we have all these divisions now splitting us apart rather than bringing us together.
Right.
And he attributes this to, he said it may have begun with identity politics.
Yeah.
I don't have a clear understanding of identity politics.
No?
I don't. I mean, I hear the term.
Yeah.
I kind of understand what it means.
Yeah.
He talks about the term originating back in the late 70s.
70s. Yeah.
77. And it had some other intended use at that
mm-hmm.
time. But I don't, I think I understand what identity politics is, but I'm
yeah.
not sure.
Yeah, the way that I understand it is that it has to do with, you know, sort of using specific demographics or characteristics
mm-hmm.
as a political platform or stage. Everywhere that I read, it seems to be defined a little bit different.
Right. He mentions a Native American movement that,
right.
that brought, and I remember burying my heart at Wounded Knee and some other
mm-hmm.
Native American movements in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and that Native Americans whose culture had been destroyed by our movement westward, Manifest Destiny. He talks about, I think he's suggesting that Native Americans began to identify themselves
right.
as a group, that
mm-hmm.
we are a culture,
mm-hmm.
we are a people. And they used it as a way of saying, hey, we're part of all this too, you
right.
know, even though we should be part of this. And it was as though identity politics was a way of bringing people together.
Right.
It has changed over time to separate people.
Right.
You know, I identify as
right.
Republican or conservative, and I hate the labels conservative and liberal because I don't know what I am. I'm not sure which one of those I fit into.
Right.
The people, politicians and news people, seem to want me to identify with one or the other, and I'm not sure which one I fit in.
Right.
You know, some friends call me liberal and some call me conservative. I don't know what I am. I don't know what the identity is there.
Right. And before you think that this is a political podcast.
No.
No.
Mm-hmm.
What this is, you know, the importance of being more, of E Pluribus Unum, of the unifying nature of what we once had here
right.
in this country, is the strength that comes from working together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when one of the big concerns that I have, for example, is as we perpetuate tribalism and divisions and divisiveness and, you know, again, us versus them, it fosters a tremendous amount of anxiety and stress and pressure in everybody, because I have people that I talk to, patients, who have difficulty going into some stores
mm-hmm.
because they know that those stores are Trump supporters, and they're not a Trump supporter, so they're very anxious about going in there because they don't know what they're going to hear or what's
mm-hmm.
going to be said or what's going to be. And it's, you know, that those kinds of divisions are so they're so, again, it's like a virus, and it really limits and impairs our ability to function.
Right.
And that's why it's important from a psychological perspective, some of these identity politics and
yeah. These divisions create stress. They create anxiety. They create stress. The people who, I mean, we all feel it, but the people who are being marginalized, who are being pushed away, who are the victims of the identity politics, certainly could create depression and other things in them. Mm-hmm. Certainly a state of unease.
Right.
And so, no, we're talking about the psychological implications, not the political implications of this. Because to have identity politics, it sort of credentials me. He uses the term credential. It credentials me. You know, I'm a conservative.
Okay. Yeah.
But at the same time, it has to be critical of the others.
Right.
Okay. In other words, I identify myself as this, therefore you have to be. It's like watching a college football game.
Well,
you know, I'm a Florida State fan or a Gator fan or a this fan, so I have to hate the other team. When I think about that, I think, wait, these are all young men.
Right.
They're all Americans.
Right.
I mean, we're all in the same country.
Right.
And yet we hate each other because of the athletic teams we play on, you know.
Right.
And that's what we're creating.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's wonderful to root for your team, but the other side of that is you have to be prejudicial to others.
Well, and I like what you said earlier that what this does is it creates the at least illusion that if I'm this, I'm not that, and by implication, that from my perspective is bad.
Right.
Because I don't want to be that.
That's right.
And so it closes us off to communication, it closes us off to listening and talking and, you know, finding solutions to problems because we're gonna automatically perceive anything that comes from that side or that camp or that tribe as negative, as bad, as against my best interest.
Right.
And when we come from that perspective, we immediately become defensive and we put up those walls that keep everybody else out. And it really takes away our opportunity to work together and find common solutions to problems.
That's right. Because
I mean, imagine a marriage working that way.
Right.
Where the husband's like, no, I'm on the man's side.
I'm on the man's side.
The wife is, no, I'm on the woman's side, and we're not going to, you know, anything that comes from that side is bad.
Right.
That marriage would never work.
Marriages that do that don't work.
Right.
Right. If you worked in those kind of tribes, you know, here's the man tribe, so all the male children have to be over here. Here's the female tribe, so all the women children have to.
Right.
You know, we wouldn't think of doing that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
This is what we call tribalism, instead of bringing people together for the benefit of everybody, and I think that's been lost here in the last generation or so, is that our country should be structured, should work so that it works for everybody.
Right.
You know, somebody said years ago, well, and I think, I don't know whether it was back in the 60s or 70s, somebody said, well, no, once I'll run against my opponents, but if elected, I'm the president of the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just the president of the people who voted for me.
Right.
I'm a president of the entire country.
Right.
And we're losing that ideal because of tribalism.
Right.
Because I'm in this tribe, so I can only be loyal to them.
Right.
Okay. And so you create tribalism, and with tribalism, you create animosity.
Right.
Okay. And that's the danger, it's psychologically toxic for everybody because you now have victors and the vanquished, and that's what we're creating with tribalism.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I agree. And then you know, as we do that, we push and push the others away, and then there's always going to be a backlash. There's going to be a reaction, and those reactions are going to continue to be, or it's going to be at risk for continuing to be more and more extreme.
That's right. That's
because it's the more that you push somebody, you know, think about a rubber band. The more that you stretch the rubber band, the harder it's going to snap back, and so that backlash is going to be more and more serious.
Right. In the 50s and 60s, the enemy was the communists, you know, and we fought the Russians in the Olympics, and we had, you know, other everything was a contest, okay, between Russia and the Soviet Union and the United States, and but it was an external. Today they're internal enemies. Mm-hmm. Today we're fighting against each other.
Right.
Okay. We used to direct all that at other. We fought the Germans, or we fought the Japanese, or we fought the Nazis, or we fought the communists. Now we're fighting each other.
Right.
You know, that same energy that comes from tribalism, we're using against each other, and that's the damaging part of this.
Right.
Is that we're turning it on each other.
Right.
And as soon as, so when the tribe was the United States,
right,
during World War II, it brought everybody together.
Right.
Now we're splitting into factions. So identity politics now has become tribalism, and we're battling with each other.
Right. You know,
which is a dangerous, I think, direction for us to go in.
Absolutely.
Certainly it is psychologically.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, we fall into this situation where, you know, we see everyone else as different. If they don't think the same way that we do, they are different. And if they're different, they're wrong. And if they're wrong, they don't have my best interest in mind. And if they don't have my best interest in mind, they are out to hurt me.
Right.
And it's a very, very linear path from, you know, disagreement to, you know, the perception that you're out to get me.
Right. And you talk about the backlash, you know, which is the dangerous part of this, because the two opposing forces here are universalism, that is, we're all in this together, versus tribalism.
Right.
Okay. And so while there's this movement toward universalism, you know, we're trying to make the country work for everybody, there's always this tendency to go back to your tribe, you know, identity politics.
Right.
I can't go there. I'm a conservative, so I can't ever support liberals, however that works. And so enough examples, but there's always this tension between universalism and tribalism. And you get the backlash because every once in a while, tribalism comes back.
Right.
Okay, and it's because of that, I think you called it a linear sort of movement. You have these extreme positions, and they're based on fear.
Right.
You know, there's this siege mentality that somebody's out to get me.
Right.
And you can feel it in our country today, that people who have these very, very strong opinions, who become very defensive, it's as though they're under siege from somewhere.
Right.
They've been made to believe that somehow they're in danger as a as a group. Well, first of all, the groups are arbitrary. And that's the last point that he makes in the article, which I'm thankful that he does. The tribes are arbitrary.
Right.
You know, and he mentions, I think it's safe to say this, he mentions Ben Carson and Clarence Thomas. They're both black men, okay? That puts them in one tribe. But they are also part of a conservative political movement, which puts them in another tribe.
Right.
Okay, so tribes shift and they're arbitrary. And so what he says in the end is we can only speak for ourselves. You know, and identifying too much with a group creates these sort of problems.
Right.
Because your tribe is going to shift from moment to moment. You know, I have cousins, I think we talked about liberal and conservative, and many people will say, well, I'm liberal in my moral values, my social values are liberal, but my economic values are conservative. So where do you fit? You
know,
this whole business about identity politics and tribes is creating a tension that we really don't need. That's probably bad for all of us.
Absolutely. And it's, I like, again, that it's so artificial, because you're going to jump from one tribe to another tribe, and, you know, one day you're going to wear one hat, and another day you're going to wear a different hat.
Right.
But the other thing is that when we get into these tribes, what we're doing is we're looking for an identity. We're looking for a group for us to fit into. And that is a
evolutionary
need for us to fit in with a group, for us, because that's how we feel secure, that's how we ensure survival of our species. The problem, of course, is that it's so artificial today.
Now it's artificial.
You know, it's not like it was when we were, you know, hunter-gatherers, where we needed a tribe to stay together because there were, animals, or we needed food.
If you imagine our country, what is now the United States, 500 years ago, mm-hmm. 600 years ago, where you had Native American tribes.
Right.
If you drifted into somebody else's tribe, you might be dinner.
Right.
You know, you might be killed.
Right.
Okay. And so tribalism at that time did serve an adaptive and protective
survival
purpose. You mm-hmm. know, we'll take care of our own.
Right.
But we're not going to take care of you. And they would fight over land or animals on the land.
Right. And the fighting of the land wasn't because of the land per se. It was because of the resources
on
the land.
The food that was there. Okay. They were fighting over limited resources.
Yeah.
Okay. So we understand that. But today, these are arbitrary. Uh-huh. These are arbitrary divisions. There's no. It's not life and death for the things that we're discussing today. They're opinions, and they're arbitrary, and they're social constructs. And time maybe to think about breaking down some of these barriers. And it would be better for everybody if we move from tribalism to universalism.
Yeah.
And better for everybody emotionally and psychologically.
I agree. So. Mm-hmm. All right. But again, we're going to get into this a little bit more detail on Saturday's podcast when we talk about Colin Kaepernick and some of those.
But again, emphasize, this is not a political discussion.
Right, right. Thank you.
Yeah, these are the psychological implications. Some of the decisions being made are political.
Right.
We're in a campaign season, so we're going to see a great deal of this right now.
Right.
But we're trying to discuss this from a psychological standpoint because anything we can do to reduce or eliminate stress and anger and animosity and divisions is good for everybody.
Absolutely. Okay. So, all right, that's it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.